Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. I have a video that I want to share with you.
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. So it's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay. All right, so I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Mm-hmm.
Those children struggled with temptation. Some resisted, and some gave in. So, anybody want a marshmallow? By the way, these marshmallows are off limits. Matter of fact, I told the 8 o'clock service that these marshmallows are off limits, but I notice that one is gone. And I have evidence, because somebody saw the perpetrator, Catherine Keller, at the end of the 8 o'clock service, ate one of the marshmallows, and I have it in living color right here, because Cindy photographed her. So, you couldn't last, huh? All right. Well, I'll see how many are gone after this next service. When I was a teenager, I was on the Escondido High School swim team. My specialty was long distance races, usually 400 meter races. Now, I have to tell you, I was never the star of any race, but I didn't drown, all right? One Saturday, though, our swim team traveled down to San Diego State University to compete with a number of other high schools in an all-day swim tournament. So I took along with me a large boom box that belonged to my parents and a number of cassette tapes. Now, some of you who are a little young may not know what a boom box is, though there's one right there. Okay, it's big, it's bulky. And you can tell how old I am because, yes, I remember using cassette tapes. Now, when we arrived by the side of the pool, I put my boom box right in the middle of the team. 30 of us were around this boom box. And I played music to keep everybody's spirits up. I figured it was totally safe from theft since it was surrounded by so many people. And it was such a large object that certainly we'd notice if somebody tried to take it. But later that afternoon, I noticed there was no music playing. So I thought I better go switch the tape. I looked for the boom box, and it was gone. I checked with my teammates and quickly figured out that somebody had stolen it. It blew my mind to think that somebody had enough gall to steal such a large item from the middle of such a big group. Somebody had succumbed to temptation. And now I had to repay my parents because I borrowed the boombox from them. We all face temptation, morally, ethically, financially, sexually. On a Saturday, September 15, 2001, at 2:30 in the morning, there was a tragedy between Port Isabel and Padre Island in Texas. A boat hit a bridge pillar and caused the bridge to break in the middle. This is a picture of that bridge when it's broken. Since it was early in the morning, it was very dark, and the drivers did not see the gap in the bridge until it was too late. 9 people were killed when their cars drove off that bridge into the dark water below. Many people succumb to temptation. We watch as people drive off the bridge of temptation, one right after the other, not seeing the destruction that awaits, but being destroyed by it. Matter of fact, I'm sure all of us can think of several court cases right now of people that have succumbed to temptation. We hear of people who sexually harassed others. We hear of people who bullied others, coerced others through their power and through their position. We hear of people who feel that the rules don't apply to them. They developed a sense of entitlement or a sense of arrogance, and one day that downfall came. It's so easy to compromise our ethics and our morals. A woman went to a Methodist pastor and asked him to conduct a funeral for her dog. The idea struck him as a little inappropriate and irreverent. So he declined as tactfully as he could. He said, "You know, my schedule is just way too busy." She then asked him if he could recommend another pastor who might do it. And he suggested, "Well, why don't you try the local Baptist preacher?" Now, wanting some advice on what would be a fair honorarium, she asked him, "You know, how much should she pay for this service?" And he said, "Well, you know, whatever you would pay, I'm sure that would be fine." She said, "Well, will $500 be enough?" Immediately, the pastor whipped out his schedule and said, "You know, I think I can squeeze that into tomorrow. I had no idea your dog was a Methodist." Anyone can get caught in temptation. Now, we often hear of people who resist temptation. What about a woman who wouldn't participate in her company's unethical business practices, even though it meant putting her job on the line and she might even lose it? What about the man who refuses to take the major promotion because it would require him to compromise his principles? What about the young man who refuses to attend a party because he knows there's going to be drugs and alcohol, and even though he knows that by not going, it will make him unpopular with his friends? What about the young teenage girl who won't give in when her boyfriend says, "If you loved me, you would"? Does the name Eric Liddell mean anything to you? It's an old movie that his story was told about in Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell was a champion runner from Scotland and an Olympic hero. He was also a devout and a serious Christian. He spent his later part of his life, by the way, being a missionary in China. And Eric saw his running ability as a gift from God. Sunday was Eric's day to worship, so he kept every Sunday as a holy Sabbath. Eric qualified for the Olympics, and one of his Olympic races was scheduled for a Sunday, and he refused to run it. It was an important race, not just for him, but for his country. But he still wouldn't do it. He had an audience with the king, with several politicians, and they tried to persuade him to run. "It's just one time," they said. He wouldn't agree. He said no. He stood by his decision, and he wouldn't run. Now, we read from a scripture in which we saw that Jesus also faced temptation. We're told that Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And then we're told he was hungry, and in some ways that's kind of an obvious statement, isn't it? After you've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But we're told that he's hungry to make us aware that he's human. He's weak. He was vulnerable. So Jesus is tempted to turn stones into bread. But Jesus, in response, quotes Deuteronomy 8. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a quote from the time in which the Hebrews were dependent on God for manna. They had a daily dependence on God. Now, when you think about this temptation, honestly, would it really have mattered that much if Jesus had chosen to make food out of rocks? I mean, what's the big deal? Well, we'll come back to this later. Next, Jesus is tempted to throw himself down from a high place. The tempter tells Jesus, you know, the angels, they will lift you up. They will cause you to not be hurt. You're going to land lightly on your feet. Didn't God promise to take care of you? Don't you have faith in God? Jesus was being tempted to use God. Jesus responds, well, do not put the Lord your God to the test. These words quote Moses. When Moses was leading the people to the promised land, Moses reminded the people that God didn't have to do anything for them, and that God couldn't be bribed or manipulated. God is not waiting for us to bring enough prayers or enough donations or enough self-sacrificial things that we can get him to do what we want. Instead, we're to think of God as one who knows what we need. And then the third temptation, possibly the main event. The tempter will give to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus will just worship him. Isn't this what you want, Jesus? To be recognized? This will give you just a little bit more glory, a little more power, a little more influence, a little more wealth, a little more leverage. All you have to do is bow down to me. Jesus responded, worship only the Lord your God. You know, Jesus is offered some things that we might want, but he refused it. By the way, what's the big temptation in all three of these situations? Jesus' temptation was this. Am I going to serve myself, or am I going to serve others? Am I going to focus on feeding myself? And am I going to focus on saving myself from harm? Am I going to focus on gaining power and influence for myself? Am I going to focus on my needs or the needs of others? Jesus' temptation is the tendency to embrace self-interest. Do we face that temptation? Are we tempted to do only the things that serve ourselves? Are we tempted to do something that hurts others, but it's helpful to our own interests? We might even rationalize why we should do it. Jesus taught and modeled that power is not principally for the benefit of the powerful. Wealth is not primarily for the benefit of the wealthy. Influence is not primarily for the benefit of the influential. Think about this. Jesus turned water into wine. Not for himself, but for the guests at the party. Jesus turned water into wine because his mom asked him to do it. Yeah, say yes to your mom and no to the devil. Later, Jesus fed a multitude of people. Yeah, that's right. Where previously he had refused to turn stones into bread, he was more than willing to multiply the food so that others might eat. Which gives a lot of meaning when you read Mark 10:45. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus gave his life for others, not for himself. You know, we remember that when we look at this cross this morning. Do you know what Jesus valued more than all the kingdoms of the world? He valued you. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And this cross reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice for all of us. But what would have happened if Jesus had succumbed to temptation? What if he'd only focused on himself? It would be like removing an arm from this cross. And by the way, I asked Skip to volunteer this morning and give me a hand. I needed somebody strong and tall. He's taller than I am. You got it? We're just going to set it down. Great. Just stay there for a second. Your job's not done yet. So, what do we have now? What letter have we formed now? I. We have formed an I. The temptation is to make it all about I. Me. Myself. To be self-absorbed. To forget the needs of others. That's really the temptation that Jesus faced. And he resisted it in all three of those temptations. It's also the temptation Jesus wants all of us to resist. Jesus says if we live a self-centered life, we will lose ourselves. Jesus even asked, "What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your very self?" Selfishness leads to the loss of the very thing that we're trying to gain. The people I admire the most are the most selfless people I know. They make a big difference in this world. Viktor Frankl, out of his experience in the Nazi concentration camps, wrote his great book, Man's Search for Meaning. And he wrote this beautiful paragraph. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the people who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a person but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. Yeah. We can choose to focus on ourselves or focus on others. We certainly know what Jesus chose. coming down. Oh. Amen.